there's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, I'm the founder, and my mission is to help ethical entrepreneurs and holistic healers to find their voice through spiritual coaching and podcasting. I'm honored to bring you the stories of those who create change through healing, kindness, innovation, purpose, and spirit. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us. As a spiritual medium and psychic, Jason Zook uses his intuition to provide guidance and advice to those seeking insight and direction, along with connections to the other side to communicate with departed loved ones. Jason also has his own podcast, The Social Psychic Radio Show, which has been ranked in the top religion and spirituality podcasts in the US. The moment Jason and I sat down together, our energies connected and transcended the distance between us, knowing that we were both right where the universe intended us to be to connect, collaborate, and grow our shared mission. Welcome, Jason, to The Ethical Evolution.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as a guest. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be on.
Yeah. Now, you're joining us all the way from Florida. For those who don't know you or have not heard of you, can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Jason Zook, the social psychic. I'm an attorney, a psychic medium, a podcaster, and also doing some life coaching work that I'm going to get into in the future. And I just started a second show called Psychic Visions Podcast with Electrocast Media, which will be coming out shortly, but is professionally signed out of LA. So we'll be doing that very shortly as well. We're in the process of recording interviews and getting that launched. So it's like my dream coming true to work with my best friend, Megan Kane, who's my co-host. It's like such a dream. Can you imagine getting an opportunity to work with your best friend to do something you're passionate about and what you care about the most?
I do it every day. It's wonderful.
I was a lawyer. I mean, I'm still a lawyer, but this is where my passion lies. Like, I'm really excited about being able to, you know, do something that I just am very excited about. So.
Well, you don't do things in halves, do you, Jace?
What's that?
You don't do things in halves, do you?
Yeah.
Now, tell us about your psychic abilities and your ability to communicate with the other side. How did this all come about?
Okay, sure. Yeah, my family has psychic abilities in its background. Like, my grandmother was psychic. My mom just figured out recently she's psychic and she's 75. I always had deja vu as a child, but I was told not to talk about it because I grew up in the 80s here in the United States, mm-hmm. in New Jersey. I was told, don't talk about it. It's not something you bring up. So I didn't bring it up. And then my grandfather passed away when I was 33. And I always had a premonition before his death that I'd be alone by myself with no one to console me. And if anyone knows me closely, they know I'm always around a lot of people, normally before COVID, mm-hmm. that I'm very social. I call myself the social psychic, yeah. for a reason. I, yeah. like to be social. Yeah. And the time he actually passed, I was alone in a hotel room doing a deposition in Wisconsin. And my premonition came true and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then orbs of light came into the hotel room and it was my grandfather's energy. It's like, I don't know if you ever saw the show Unsolved Mysteries. Mm. It's a show that used to be big in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. I felt like I was living my own episode of Unsolved Mystery. Orbs of light coming into the room, lighting up this room that's dark. I just found out from my mom that my grandfather had died and I felt this unconditional love wash over me, a wave of it. And my grandfather spoke to me in telepathy and he said, son, I love you. Don't ever worry about grieving me. I'm always with you. Go get some food. Take care of yourself. I love you, son. Don't ever cry for me. And I never have cried since then. And this is the man who helped raise me as a child because we grew up with my grandparents in the house with us. I was a single parent family. So my mom's dad and mom.
Wow.
So for that to happen. And so I went and got food about an hour later at Panera Bread in Wisconsin. And I was at the drive-thru and one of my close friends called me from high school to check on me because she knew my grandfather was sick, but we didn't think he'd die that soon. He had a stroke. And so when she called, I told her that, yeah, my grandfather died. And she's like, oh my God, your premonition. Where are you? I'm by myself in Wisconsin. Just like I said, 7 years earlier, what happened? She's like, oh my God, you must be horrible. I'm like, no, I'm all right. I'm like, my grandfather came to me in the hotel room, orbs of light. And I just started saying the things. And for the first time ever, I sensed through the phone her energy. I read energy. I sensed her energy. I knew she wasn't believing what I was saying. She thought I wasn't credible with my description with the orbs of light. And I just said, you know, if you doubt what I'm saying, how about it's like your grandmother coming through? She's like, my grandmother's been dead for 6 months, Jason. You know that. I said, well, what if your grandmother had something to say to you? Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, that's not possible. And then next thing you know it, her grandmother comes through and speaks something so specific to her that only her and her grandmother knew about it for many years. And she's dropped the phone and started crying. And I didn't know what I did. And she didn't know what I did. And then her future husband picked up the phone and said, why is Tracy crying in the bathroom? And I don't know. And then Tracy called me back and was like, you're the only one that I can't believe you did that. And I said, I don't know. I went back to the hotel room that night. I left the lights on like a little kid because I was afraid. I was like, am I seeing dead people? Can I communicate? It was quite an experience at first.
Wow. That's And I completely can relate to you. I, in recent years also have realized my psychic abilities as well.
I love it.
And, you know, apparently I've had them since I was a kid. And like you, you kind of just push it aside and you think, oh yeah, that's nothing. And then, you know, more recently it's become more apparent. And like, you know, I also have a full-time job in, you know, as well as doing this. And I say things and do things at work and they go, stop reading my mind. I'm like, I can't help it. You know, and so this happens all the time. And, you know, there's some things, some conversations I have with people and you're explaining all this energy stuff and they're just like, I just can't, you know, like they don't understand you and you know,
it's
you
like
can
a deer
tell.
In headlights.
Yeah.
Deer in headlights. They look at you like, huh? And they don't believe you. Right. And then I dealt with that for many years. For many years, I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I stayed in the psychic closet, so to speak, because I was a lawyer licensed in 5 states along the Mississippi Gulf Coast of, you know, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, New Jersey. Out of those 5 states, yeah. I don't think there's any state that would be comfortable with a psychic medium attorney. So I had to parcel it, you know, I had to wait. I never thought I would do what I'm doing right now. Finally, I'm on the cusp of switching up a little bit or evening it out where I'm going to be, you know, doing more psychic work, spiritual work. And for me, it's all about healing. I think everything we do is exchange of energy. And what I figured out, and you're probably the same way, you're a light worker. You probably know this already. I can tell just by your energy and the ethics and everything else, you're a light worker. And a light worker, just for your audience, is someone who brings light where darkness exists. Simplified definition. People who work hard to change the world through their actions, through their job, through their deeds, through their beliefs. By experiencing and providing love and loyalty and honesty to others and helping people move beyond certain limitations with themselves. That's what I think you're very strong with. And I think you're good at that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One thing I'm curious about, Jace, is like, as an attorney, does the psychic stuff help you in that realm?
I'm going to answer that as I always have. If you look up the ethics rules,
you can't.
You can't find an ethic rule that says, what do you do if you're psychic and you go to court? There's no such rule. So since I interpret, you know, we interpret rules and regulations, if there's not one there, I keep them as 2 separate hats. When I literally am in my lawyer role, I don't pretend I'm a psychic. I don't even acknowledge it. I leave it where it's at. When I'm doing psychic stuff, I don't give legal advice. I don't talk to any clients about legal stuff. They're 2 separate hats. It's almost like I entertain as a psychic and then I train to be a lawyer.
Yeah,
and that's how I've separated it. And for many years, as I started my psychic practice, I literally would have readings after hours only. No readings during business hours. Those are my lawyer hours. And then when the 6 o'clock hits, I put on my lawyer hat and here I am.
I just find that fascinating, you know, like imagine if the two were molded together, how interesting that would be, you know, like particularly in your part of the country as well. Like,
sounds like a reality show, right? I'm just
So you told us about your story with Tracy and how you revealed your talents. I mean, what kind of things have you revealed for people that's really changed their lives through your readings?
Wow. I'll give you an easier example, I guess. One of my straightforward examples. I had a father contact me a couple of years ago about his son who committed suicide. And his wife tried to go see the Long Island medium and went up to New York from Florida and went up to see her to see if she could hopefully give her some insight about her son committing suicide. So she went up there and then wasn't able to, you know, obviously Long Island has a lot of people want to talk to her. So Teresa Caputo. So she went up there, was disappointed, came back. Her husband decided to reach out to a local medium, found me, and sent me an email. And I sat on it for a few days, like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know. Finally, that Friday, the son that committed suicide came to me when I got down my office at 6 o'clock on Friday. Some people go to happy hour. I contacted the father and said, hey, I originally thought I was going to call him and talk about setting up a, you know, an appointment, or letting him know that I don't really do grief counsel. I'm not a therapist. If you really want me as a medium, I'd recommend you get a therapy first. And then once you're ready, come to me and I can see about entertaining you as a psychic. I always use it under those auspices. And what happened was he came through right away and he let them know. The father was whispering to me outside and the wife was inside, and he didn't want the wife to know I was on the phone. But then I picked up on some specific things and he knew that it was his son coming in. And so he grabbed his wife, and the next thing you know, they're outside talking to me in the garage where they were. And the son's coming through, bringing up all these facts about how he didn't mean to kill himself. He literally wanted just to cry for help. Unfortunately, this is one of the things he was successful at. He didn't intend to die. He realizes all the harm he brought them. It's one of the most emotional experiences that I can tell you I've had, where I cried during the reading. They cried, I cried, and we all like laughed. And it was like I was sitting in their garage with them. And after about an hour, you know, we concluded the call. I haven't talked to them in the last 3 years, 2 years, but the father like just thanked me so much, and the wife thanked me, and it brought me so much peace of mind to realize what you can really do with this stuff if you do it the right way and you really intend it to be strictly for healing, strictly for reassurance and clarity and helping people. It's a powerful force of nature. I consider a force of nature. I don't consider what we're instruments. Mm. We don't have psychic powers, you know. It's an instrument. And so we're instruments. And so once you realize that and you get your ego out of the way and you can understand things, you can make some really, you can have some really amazing experiences. Like I'll go through my day now and I'm not really doing as much learning stuff at the moment. And I have like a reading scheduled and I'll meet with somebody and I'll connect with them through the phone or through Zoom. And it's just so powerful for me. It gives me so much meaning and purpose, you know, to have the ability to connect with people directly. And it's an icebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say it's a greater purpose for you than being a lawyer?
Being a lawyer to me was like, I trained to do it. It's like my 3D world job. Like there's doctors who are spiritual and have life-changing experiences, and you're always going to be a lawyer. You're always going to be a doctor. Yeah. You're always going to be a teacher. But this isn't something I trained for.
Yeah.
This is something that's in me that I became aware of through my own inner journey over time for the last 15, 16 years or whatever it is. And it's something I'm most confident about. If somebody wants to criticize me for being a bad lawyer or being a bad person or being whatever, I'm not a bad person. I know I'm not. But if somebody tried to give me criticism about something, Jason's messy or Jason's procrastinates, I'll take that every day. But if someone says Jason's a bad psychic, I won't take that, because I know what I do. My heart's in it.
Yeah.
And I know what I do. I'm damn good at it. And I've seen the positive impact and the relationships it's created in my life, and I'm grateful for it.
Amazing. Now, I've spoken to quite a few psychic mediums recently, and can I just tell you, it's been life-changing. Like, it is, like, I've walked away from some of those conversations a different person. Like, your sight is just so much broader after those experiences. And I'm curious to know, with you, like, when you do a reading or when someone comes through to you from the other side, in terms of how you experience it, is it, you know, you see things or you feel things or you hear things? How does it work for you?
Beautiful question. Yeah. So, you know how we have five senses? There's a school of thought, and I believe in this actually, that we have psychic senses too. And so when I communicate with the other side, it's like playing charades. I always use the analogy of playing charades, that things will pop in my mind, like images, words, phrases, memories of the past that the person may have, or future events. It's just, and sometimes I'll have my clairvoyance, which is my clear vision, or my clear audience, which is listening. I'm not the best with names. That's not my forte, but I can connect with the energy of the person, whoever, alive or dead. And I feel like once I connect and I pick up, I channel something, and then I can give insight to the person when I do that. And usually when the loved one comes through, they're always identifying themselves usually first as how they died or how they're connected to the person. The recipient receives the message. I provide the information, kind of like doing AT&T to the other side, is always said. But you're involved in it, but you realize you're just a messenger, and that the person who's receiving the information is the interpreter and understands the different signs and cues and bits of information that pop in. And I think with mediumship, for me at least, it was the thing I started out with. It was my first skill set that I had and that I knew I had. And then as time went on, I learned about my ability to find a missing dog in New York State when I was sitting in Florida once. One of my friends from a wedding I met asked me about their missing dog, and I connected and found the dog. Well, told her she'd find a dog 24 hours later. He'd have his tan leash on. He was in a garage or a shed, and they found them exactly there. And so I knew I can connect to animal energy, and just all the experiences I've had through mediumship. And I've actually worked on picking up my own theories about missing people with my best friend, Megan, the one who's doing the other show with me. We've done that before. And I feel very strongly that the stuff we pick up, people think mediumship and they think, okay, connect me to my dead aunt. No, mediumship is a whole plethora of things that you can do with it, between working on cold cases or coming up with theories, I should say, because I'm not working on any cold cases, but theories, or helping someone find a missing object. I've had people ask me about that before. Mm. Helping people understand their relationships, their dynamics in their career and their office politics and all these other, it's all that stuff kind of bundled into the psychic label.
Mm. And I know for me, when I was speaking to another psychic medium recently, and I was explaining when the penny dropped for me, was that I would always get these, it would just be like, phrases or words would come to me, like it was like a message, and then I'd be like, well, what does that mean? And it would happen in the same place geographically, and it was right next to a cemetery. And I was like,
You're picking up on messages from the other side.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are mediums and they don't realize it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say to me, well, my grandmother passed away a few years ago and she always comes in my dreams. And I'm like, well, that's probably your grandmother communicating with you. Well, that's not possible. Why is it not possible? Prove me the alternative.
Yeah.
Show me where it is possible. And I'll tell you it is possible because I've experienced it for 20 years almost. And you're experiencing it. And your grandmother happens to be coming to you in a dream and you're figuring these things out. Like, come on. You got to believe in order to understand it, right? It's like the Matrix. You got to take yourself out of that pod.
Mm.
Keep an open mind.
Mm.
Venture outside your comfort zone and not fear things.
Yeah, and exactly. For me, my grandmother is around me all the time, and there'll be times, Jason, I'll be sitting here and I'll just feel this glow behind me, and I know she's loving right presence. There. Yeah, she's right behind me, and it's just like this glow, and you're just like, oh, I know you're there. And, you know, she has become my guide in what I do now, like all the messages I get for what I'm meant to do in this podcast and this agency, it's all coming from her.
I love that. You're channeling your higher self and she's helping you and she's guiding you. Like my grandfather guides me every day. You're getting guided by your spiritual protector, your grandmother, who's your conduit, and she's helping you with all the things you're doing right now.
Yeah. Now, if people want to have a reading with you, Jason, what can they expect?
Basically, I laugh at that because I say to myself, what do I expect when I do readings? A candid conversation, but an opportunity to hopefully I only do readings when I'm at my best. What I mean by that is I had COVID for a few weeks. I didn't do any readings. I would never do a reading with somebody when I'm not either with it, meaning if I'm depressed or if I'm tired. I'll just tell people, look, I want to reschedule you to a time that I know I'm 100% my best. Because to me, I feel like I'm a performer like anyone else that they rely on. And if they're going to hire me to be a medium or be a psychic to them, then I need to do what's best. You know, I need to tell them what comes through, but I do it in a way where I my ultimate goal is to have that person feel a lot better than when they first contact me. And I don't always get to do that. I don't always get to connect with everybody perfectly, but I would say a good number of the people I work with can come back. They come back to me regularly and they tell me the things I pick up are, you know, I used to do Groupon. You know what Groupon is in Australia?
Yeah.
I started out on Groupon as a psychic medium because I wanted to give myself an internship for discounted readings. So I had people go through my Groupon for like 2 to 3 years. I built a base of people. There was a lady who I read for when I first started, and I used to record my readings and give it to them. So she transcribed one of the early readings I gave her. Then she shows up 2 years later before COVID happened, showed up in my office in person, and she had a folder. I was like, she's got a folder. What's she doing? She whips out the folder. And as I'm talking to her, she's like, okay, I have this transcribed from when we met and you told me 18 things would happen. And I'm on number 17 right now. And it all happened in the order you said it. And I'm like, I don't remember when I say things, I channel. She's like, well, I need an update. So here we are. And I started to laugh. And I was like, wow, that's crazy, but amazing at the same time that she transcribed my information. I got her through the reading, looked at it and marked it off the last 2 years. And she's so methodical that she's ready for the next reading.
If that's not a checklist for validation, I don't know what is.
Oh, I have that happen a lot of times. I started doing some parties here in Florida where I went to a chiropractor's party, and my best friend and I did it. And we read people, probably 50 people each in like 4 hours. And one of the women I met in May of last year sent me a message literally 2-3 weeks ago to tell me that this and this and this that I told her, this happened, that happened. I met a new person. I bought a new house. And you were right. I'm having a child, because she wanted to have a kid. And I was only talking to her for 15 minutes. And she said that all those three things I said, she wanted to make sure I knew. And I've had that happen a couple of times where people come back and really validate you. And that's the best part of doing this stuff, is like being validated.
Yeah.
And have an impact.
And that must be so rewarding when people come back to you and say, look, it's all happened just like you said it would. Like, that must be the best feeling.
It's been happening for so many years already. When it first started happening to me, I remember I had my own disbelief, because I was like, you get nervous.
Yeah.
No matter how many times you do this, I used to get nervous at first, but then I've done them so many times already that it's like riding a bike or working out at the gym. If you see these bodybuilders, they've been in the gym for years training and putting all the work in. Well, I've been putting all the work in as a psychic. And so, yes, you can call me and I can feel confident that if I'm in the right mindset, I'm going to pick up stuff that's going to blow your mind. That's what I don't have an ego, but I know that the people I work with, that's the kind of stuff my reviews show. When people look at my Google reviews, they'll see like 100, I think I have like 100 something. They'll see, they're all 5-star. And yeah, they'll see that the stuff I come up with, the people that write the reviews aren't like, he was great.
Yeah.
There's like a narrative they write. And I'm so impressed with what my clients write about me, because I'm like, I'm really honored by it and appreciative and just so happy and humbled at the same time.
Yeah. Now, Jason, a question I love to ask guests on this show, because we are at the Ethical Change Agency, what does being ethical mean to you?
Can I show you something?
Sure.
I brought it out for you.
Yeah.
This is me as a lawyer. It's an award for the highest
get out of town standards.
I had to do it for 15 years. I was like, you know what? Since we're doing this interview and it's about ethics, ethics is so important to me. I feel like if we are all more ethical, loyal, you know, do the things that you know you just inherently know are the right things to do, you're going to have a better life. You're not going to have any guilt. Mm. You're not going to have any regret. You're going to have better relationships with others. It's like, treat those the way you want to be treated. The golden rule, the 10 commandments, all those things rolled in one. That's my interpretation of ethics. Now, there are professions that have, like the legal profession, the ethics rules of the legal profession are so cumbersome that there's things I could do as a psychic medium to advertise, promote myself, that I can't do as a lawyer. So I'm like, you know, I like this better because I'm not as hindered.
Yeah.
And trust me, I love ethics, but I think sometimes you got to balance ethics and make sure you're doing the right thing, but fit it within the situation and the people you're working with. Always, like as psychics, we need to be ethical, and spiritual people, we need to be ethical. Like, you can't just not have your heart in something and try to do this and work with people. You're just not going to be successful at it. People will know.
Mm.
And information is so important, because words, look how much misinformation is happening in the United States right now and around the world about COVID and all that. If we had one form that was the accurate information, verified, and everyone's on the same page, this pandemic would have been gone years ago, right? Mm. And I'm thinking, by the way, it's going to end soon. I know you guys had your own experiences with stuff, and it's just like, we've all been on pins and needles. The entire planet has been, if you think of a pressure cooker, we've all been in this pressure cooker. We're all ready to just let out.
Yeah.
So, you know, look at our headlines, Russia on the border of Ukraine. Like, I pray that that doesn't happen, but you're looking at what we're seeing, and it's a repeating of history over and over as what we see over and over in our world. And so I feel like if we're ethical and we carry ourselves the way we should and follow the golden rule of life and do what we need to do, we will be a better planet. We will be a better people. We will evolve. We will grow. We will change. We will be better versions of ourselves.
You know,
greater love.
I have asked hundreds of people that question, and that is like one of the best answers I've ever gotten. Seriously, it is just blown it out of the water.
I mean, I'm going to give you an example. That little award, I remember being a baby lawyer when I first got out of law school, and people were like, "Oh, are you going to strive for that?" And I was like, "Yes." Well, you know, it's going to take like 15 years. Okay. It took 15 years, but it's the way you treat your peers. You know, the reason you get that award as a lawyer is you do what you need to do, but you treat your peers with respect. You go into court, you do the right thing. You work with your clients and you get rated by your peers. I had to have 15 other lawyers or judges or academics, people I know that I practice law with, you know, verify that I'm a credible, ethical person. And I saw that in my living room. I'm like, I'm going to bring that in here in my podcast room to show you, because it so ties in. When you reached out to me and I was like, I love the name of your podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, That is so awesome. It fits within, like, it aligns with me.
Well, I mean, if, you know, we're going to be the change, we actually have to start with us, right? It all begins exactly. with us. And that's the whole theme of this. And, you know, I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and it's just more and more clear every single conversation that I have. And for those people who can't see you now on video, what you were showing us is an award that you got for ethics in law. So just iconic, really. So
thank you.
And congratulations to you.
Synchronicity. It's synchronicity, right? It's synchronicity, meaning it lines up with our interview. And I was walking around my house. I get excited before these interviews, to be honest with you. I like call my mom and say, "Hey, by the way, mom, I'll be on the phone for an hour or whatever. I'll be busy." And I was like, I want to have like a show and tell today.
I love it. Now, Jason, no doubt you and I have both experienced skeptics in what we do. And just so that we can help those skeptics, what kind of energy are you reading from me now?
I, you know, as you got on earlier with me, I see you having a lot of projects coming up. You're really hard working at things, and there's some things that were slow in the past year or so that you've been like not waiting for, but trying to get past, and it's coming up. I feel like this spring, which is our spring, so I guess March, April, May, those are the months that whatever you've been trying to get done are going to actually come into fruition. And you have so many things in your mind that you want to get out, like creatively. I feel like you just need to like let one out at a time kind of thing, like your ideas, your plans, your goals. Sometimes you get a bottleneck in the chakra here, even though you're a podcaster like me, We also can get blockages in our chakras. And, you know, communication's your forte. And I think your grandmother's a huge influence on a lot of things, like we mentioned earlier. And I feel like she's wanted me to tell you that she's expressing so much excitement and joy with what you've accomplished and what you're doing. And so with all these things intertwined, I'm telling you, 2022 is going to be a year that you laid on the foundation. 2023, 2024, 2025 are going to grow from it. So it's like when you put the seed down, you plant it in the dirt, and it grows and you cater it. That's what I see happening for you. I see some advancements. I see some positive relationships coming into your life. You're going to have people that come into your life that you haven't had in a while, who actually prop you up, make you happy, give you, we're givers. Our energies are giving energies. So when you give, we get depleted. And I'm being told to tell you to watch so you don't deplete yourself. You don't overdo it. Because look, I'm the same way. Last summer, when I got into the podcasting, I'm on these different sites like Podmatch, I was just diving in the deep end and loving every second. And then I burnt out and I realized I got to pace myself. And I'm going to tell you, you're the same way. You got to pace yourself, but you're on steady, gradual footing for progress and success and things that you're accomplishing, not just in your professional life, but also in your personal life and in relationships with people that you may feel isolated or not as close to. People are coming back and reconnecting with you too.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we will see. I've been getting that a lot, that particularly the podcast itself is going to skyrocket. That's what I keep getting told.
And I see it.
And I can feel it too.
Your energy relays to me somebody who's going to not just be podcasting. You're going to be producing things. You're going to be working with other people. And I see that. I have the same type of thing. I want to produce. I want to do this. I have all this restless energy of things I'm passionate about, like social justice and equality here in the United States. And when I can have somebody on my show that talks about those things, I get like giddy, like I'm a little kid, like so excited. You're the same way though. You're so strong with your passions. And I know you're in Australia right now, and I got goosebumps, by the way. I'm telling you, spiritually, you're meant to be pursuing these passions. And you're meant to be behind a microphone or in front of a microphone and a screen. Mm. And you're going to produce other creative ventures. I think you may write stuff. I see you as a prolific writer, and you're going to do a lot of these things coming together that project-wise you haven't been able to do in the past. Doors are going to open for you, and you're actually going to teach a lot of people about the things you're most passionate about.
Mm, love it. Love it. That's all I've had in the back here. Thank you very much. You've justified that for me. That's amazing.
It's like a mirror. It's like a mirror. You know, what I say can sometimes be a mirror where it can show you things. And sometimes when people hear things that I tell them and they're like, you're right about that. I'm like, well, I don't mean to say if I'm right or wrong. I'm just telling you your energy and what I pick up. Mm. And it could be very powerful when you realize that we're all interconnected. The fabric of the universe. It might not be visual, but it's connected. Mm. Deceased loved ones, like your grandmother and my grandfather, they're like the Wi-Fi signal we don't pay attention to regularly.
Yes, right? I love that.
They're always on. Mm. They're always there. They're always on. You don't have to look crazy if you feel like you're talking to them in the mirror, because they listen to you. And anyone who listens and is grieving somebody right now, you don't have to go to the cemetery to talk to your deceased loved one. Sit on your couch, get a glass of water, and just talk to your loved one. Mm. Or I do it in the mirror. I like to do it in the mirror because I feel like, you know, when I see myself that they could be viewing me, it makes it more natural to me.
Mm. I love that. Love it. And thank you. The thing that I'm picking up with you is that, we both, podcasting for us and connecting with other spiritual people like this, it's a natural high for us. It's quite addictive. For me, the thing that I have that spurred me on to do this is I loved the transformation in people from the beginning of an interview to the end, just that energy transformation. And you see someone who comes in really nervous and they don't know what to do, and then by the end they're like on the biggest high you've ever seen. And it's just, I absolutely love that. And, the connection that we're having, it's not just an interview. Like, you're on the other side of the world. You're getting goosebumps from me. And
I still get them. Yeah. I still have them right now on my arm. They're like standing up. I know I have hairy arms, but they're standing up on my arms right now. So, and that's to me indicating as a message that everything we're discussing is accurate. And your grandmother is so strongly with you. I feel like you have a picture of her you think about when you focus sometimes. And she's telling me to tell you that she sees you looking at that picture. And there's just so many things that she sees in you that she's so proud of. Like, I just get her beaming with pride from cheek to cheek, grinning at you right now.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And yeah, so, you know, this isn't just a podcast. It isn't just an interview.
It's all about connecting.
It's a soul connection.
And maintaining these relationships.
Mm, yeah. Now, Jason, if people want to find out more about you and have a reading or get in touch and learn more, where can they go?
You can go to, if you're on Instagram, my handle on Instagram is The Social Psychic, and my website is The Social Psychic, www.thesocialpsychic.com. My email is thesocialpsychic@gmail.com, which there's a dot in between the.social.psychic. And the best way someone can reach out is just, and you can check out my podcast. It's The Social Psychic Radio Show. So I guess my branding's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And so between all those things, anyone who wants to reach out to me, I'm more than happy to communicate with anyone who wants a reading or just wants to say, hey, I love talking to people. So.
Yep. And I reckon a reading would be an amazing experience. So check him out. Now, Jason, last big question for you. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
I love your question. Oh my God. This is like, if you could change the world, why? I will tell you two things. George Floyd, words don't express the pain I felt when that happened. I went and protested 5 times here in Tampa, and we are at a recourse with ourselves here in the United States about racism. And that would be one thing I want to change immediately. We need to have greater acceptance and understanding in the United States and across the world too. It's not just our country that struggles with its own history and its own racism. But I will tell you this, with spirituality and the way it was explained to me when I did the protest, I realized if there's anything I could die that I believe in, it would be going to a protest for equality and ending racism. If somebody struck me with a car, something crazy like that, I'd say, well, I went out the way I wanted to because I was doing what I needed to, because that's how we're going to change the world. When people stand up and do so peacefully, like Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King, you got to be peaceful and you got to come about and you got to come together and support one another. There's more people in this world who love each other than there is who don't. Mm. And that plus the environment, we got to love our planet. We got to love each other. We got to be ethical about it. And we got to bring about real lasting growth and change. And within ourselves, within the planet, I mean, and for spirituality, let me just tell you this. I believe that we're all made of spirit, right? And if we're all spirit, why are we judging each other by what's on the outside? It's like driving a car and judging the person for the car they drive. That's so superficial and so ridiculous. And our maker would laugh at us, no, would reprimand us for narrow-mindedness, thinking that we have biases and certain things that we're better than somebody else when we all are the same. That's probably where, if I can like do something in my power with my show and what I do on a daily basis, that's where my paradigm has been enlarged ever since George Floyd was murdered in 2020. And that's one of the biggest things I need to change in my life. And I'm very outspoken now. I was never outspoken before that happened. Like, I just felt like you don't talk about politics, religion, or abortion in the United States, those kind of things. Well, now I'm like, you know, because of Trump and everything that happened here, I'm outspoken. Mm. If somebody wants to judge me because I'm outspoken and I support Black Lives Matter, go right ahead and judge me. Mm. You're not signing my paychecks. You're not helping me in my life. And if anything, we need to give love to those people because we need to reach everyone's heart and help them, you know, get past these antiquated ways of looking at the world from the 1800s and before. Like, it's just so dumb to me. Like, spirit isn't everything, right? So if we're all made of energy, then how do you judge one energy from another?
Yeah.
Have empathy, yeah. Pay it forward, be kind, do things like that. Those are the things that, are very important for me.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when it comes to things like, if we strip away all of the material things and the money and all of the things that we think give us credibility, we're all exactly the same. Strip all that away, we are all human. And if we want equality and inclusiveness and unity, there's no way violence and judgment can be part of that.
100%. 100%. And I really think, you know, we're going to get there. We haven't gotten there yet. But we're on the way. That's my I have optimism about humanity. I have optimism about everything. So the glass is always half full, always.
Yeah.
And even with the horrible things that, you know, there was a judgment that came out today. The girl that killed shot, I think it's Ahmaud Arbery. And I'm trying to think. I'm so bad. There's a shooting with a police officer that shot, unfortunately, an innocent person, and it came back with only 16 months as a sentence. It just happened before I got a chance to get on the show. That sickens me that you could take someone's life, even if you were overwhelmed, but a taser is not a shotgun, a handgun. And if you can shoot somebody as a police officer and kill them and rob them of their life because you made a mistake, 16 months. That's how incredible. Is someone's incredible. Life worth 16 months of time? How do you even say anything about that without being emotional?
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't mean to leave that on a negative note, but I'm saying there's things we need to change.
Mm.
And you know what? It's okay to be emotional upset because it helps to motivate us to make changes.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. And work together.
Yeah.
And be ethical about it.
And that's something that I've started ever since the beginning of this show, particularly when COVID hit, was that it made me see that what I do today impacts your tomorrow. No matter where we are in the world, whether, you know, we're in Florida or Brisbane, no matter what I do, it can impact your tomorrow. So we are all in this together. So it all starts with us, and it's, you know, where we speak up and stand up, as you say.
And it's Kim Potter, by the way, the officer that shot and was sentenced such a short amount of time. So,
and as an attorney, that must really grind your gears.
You know what? It's nauseating because as an attorney, I swore to believe in the Constitution of the United States of America and the state constitution of Florida, any other state I'm licensed in. I had to take these exams and go through all these ethical standards and prove myself on all these levels. And then we have this constitution that's being ignored and they're taking away voter rights and they're doing all these things. And it's, you can tell on my face, I'm bewildered, right? And we're a democracy. We're not supposed to take away people's rights. We're supposed to be building on people's rights. That's where 200 years of our history is from.
Mm.
We're not Jim Crow. You know, like I'm saying, like, it really upsets me. Mm. And I'm praying to God every day that it's going to change in my lifetime, in our lifetime, that we'll have these changes.
Well, it's up to us to be that change. And Jason, I can't thank you enough for being the change with me and being a part of the ethical evolution.
I'm highly honored to be on your show, and I really appreciate you sharing your time with me and having us to be able to talk about these topics, because they're so important.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution Podcast. If you're ready to be the change and would love to work with me on finding your voice through spiritual coaching or creating your own podcast with impact, visit ethicalchangeagency.com.